This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. Hanging out with you till 8 p.m. this evening. Now talking some Saints football with sideline reporter Jeff Nowak, also our WWL digital content producer. Man, oh man, we were just talking some of the NCAA action going on. Obviously, the big upset today, McNeese moving on, and we have one of our texters here on the Oaken Heart Jewelers Talking text line asking, who does McNeese will play Saturday? And that matchup's going to be against four-seed Purdue, and they've already got the Boilermakers a 5.5-point favorite. Jeff, how's your bracket doing so far?
Yeah, I think you forgot UConn men's basketball aficionado. That is my secondary title. But yes, go Pokes. Go Pokes. Will Wade is hilarious. I do have to say, like, he is one of the funniest people to listen to after a win. Good for them. He's going to be coaching NC State next year. I'm sure NC State's going to be in the NCAA tournament winning games because that's what Will Wade does. That's what LSU men's basketball used to do. Don't get me started on that. But, no, this has been a fun day. You know, I had McNeese in my bracket. I did have them winning. My problem is I also had High Point beating Purdue, and then I had a High Point beating McNeese. So I went a little galaxy brain on that side of the bracket. So I will enjoy my McNeese win, but beyond that, I'm not going to enjoy the next round.
Yeah, it's I hate when that things like that end up unfolding and you start looking further down your bracket and it messes up a whole bunch of things in there. Is there any matchup coming up tonight that you have circled or really looking forward to, or just kind of dialed into everything right now?
I have the YouTube TV like four screen thing.
Yeah, I was just telling Cullen about that.
It's fantastic. I feel like I'm at like Buffalo Wild Wings sitting at my house. It's very distracting. It has not been a productive day. I hope the bosses aren't listening. This has been every time I look up, I'm like, oh my gosh. This is one of my favorite days of the year. For in the non-football season, because it's just every time you look up something going crazy. I do have Yale going over Texas A&M because one of my big theories going into this year is that the SEC is not that good. And this whole 14 out of 16 teams thing, that's just pure media hype. And I think we saw that kind of unfold a little bit. You saw Alabama State pushing Auburn in the first half. I don't think a lot of people saw that coming. You saw Georgia getting housed by Gonzaga. I think UConn's going to take apart Oklahoma tomorrow. So I don't think they're going to get 14 SEC teams every year. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, the matchups that looking forward to this evening, at least, when I see the game against Texas Tech and UNC Wilmington, I know it's a late start, but that seems like a pretty good matchup there for me, even though I think the spread is Texas Tech is favored by like 15.
Yeah, no, Texas Tech's interesting. It's weird because Chris Beard is now at I always forget. But, you know, it's weird because guys move around and you have different coaches coaching different teams. The team that I think people should be paying attention to is St. John's. And as much as I hate to praise Rick Pitino because he drives me nuts as a coach, that St. John's team is a legitimate championship caliber team that everyone's kind of brushed aside because they decided early on in the year that the Big East wasn't any good. But if you go and you watch Creighton just dismantle Louisville, who is the second team in the standings in the ACC, I think you're going to start to understand, like, the Big East was a lot better than it was getting credit for. Xavier beat Texas in the first four games. They're going to come in. I think they're going to win at least one game in the tournament. So, St. John's is probably the dark horse of everybody that could win this whole thing that no one is talking about. They went 30-4. And their head coach is Rick Pitino.
Yeah, so, you mentioned that, and I know UConn's in your heart. Well, Cullen said he filled out one of his brackets, and, you know, filling it out with his heart, he had St. John's winning it all.
Yeah, no, I mean, they could definitely do it. Yeah, I do have to, full disclosure, I put two brackets into our work pool, and in one of them I have UConn winning it all, and the other one I have Florida winning it all, and otherwise they are identical. So, you know, I had to, with my heart, put UConn into the final because I just need that three-peat to happen in my soul. I don't have a good feeling about it, but we'll see.
I totally get it. You got to play with your heart sometimes. The Saints have been playing around in free agency. They've brought in a few new faces, but there's been a lot of re-signing. And one of the guys I wanted to talk about, and we kind of got into it on the Inside Black and Gold podcast, where I didn't necessarily feel that 3 years, $30 million, $10 million a year for Juwan Johnson was really worth it for the tight end, considering what he's done in the past. But I know you've been on that train of, you know, if he's used properly, this guy's worth that money.
Yeah, so I think the way people look at it is, oh, okay, I'm looking at what he has done over the past 3 years, and the numbers that I see do not merit a three-year, $30 million contract. Well, the problem is that's not how the Saints are looking at it. The Saints are going to look at it and saying, over the next 3 years, is he going to be worth a three-year, $30 million contract? And that's the correct way to look at it because that's the only objective way for it to be true. You know, like, you're not paying someone for what they have done. You are paying someone for what you think they are going to do. And, you know, I put together a few numbers. I was going to plan to get into it tomorrow on the show when we have a lot longer to unpack some of this information. But, you know, to me, the thing that I think it says is not that, hey, we are betting big on Juwan Johnson. They definitely are. It's that when you look at Kellen Moore's offense and you say, okay, how is Juwan Johnson going to be utilized in Kellen Moore's offense? I think what that contract tells you is he's going to get a significant role that you may not have seen yet, right? If you look at the top 20 tight ends in terms of receiving yards, only five of them had 70 or fewer targets. One of them was Juwan Johnson, who had 66, and he had 50 catches, 548 yards, three touchdowns. Another one was Dallas Goedert, who only played in 10 games, but had 42 targets, about 500 receiving yards. He would have been on pace for about 88 targets. So I think if you're paying Juwan Johnson 3 years, $30 million, it's because you are planning to feature him in the offense in such a way where he can get in the range of 90 targets. And when you look at the top five tight ends in terms of receiving yards in this past season, all five of them had 90-plus targets. We want to talk about Brock Bowers and how great Brock Bowers' rookie season was, and it was a great rookie season. He had 153 targets last year. 153! That's crazy. That's well over double what Juwan Johnson got over a 17-game schedule. So my point is, tight end stats are oftentimes volume-based. And if you have a guy who's getting 66 targets, you can only expect so much. He was averaging 8.3 yards per target. So if you extrapolate, I know everyone loves the word extrapolate, if you extrapolate that over 90 targets, he would have been at about 747 yards, which would have been the sixth most receiving yards in the NFL last year. So all this is to say, I think if you're overreacting to the three-year, $30 million kind of figure, it's because you're looking at the past 3 years. And I think if the Saints use him the right way, if they feature him in the offense, then we won't be talking about, oh, this contract is an overpay. We'll be talking about it was a steal because the numbers will be there. So that's kind of where I'm at with it. Like, I think Juwan is a hard worker. He converted from wide receiver to tight end when he got into the NFL. So I think he's got a little more tread left on his tires than a guy who came in as a first-round pick, say, an Evan Engram or a Noah Fant, who, you know, has been getting that run from day one, got it all in college, right? You know, he's committed to being an all-around tight end. That's what you want to see from a guy that you're investing in, is that he's doing the work, he's committed. If you go back and you look at him in his rookie season and you look at him now, looks like a completely different person. Like, he has transformed his body from a wide receiver frame to a tight end frame, and that's not easy to do. I mean, you put on 20, 30 pounds over the course of five seasons and do it the right way so you're not kind of putting on bad weight. You know, you can change the way you play, and I think that's what the Saints have seen, and that's what they're investing in.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Jeff, we had Renee Nado on earlier from Crescent City Sports talking to us about specifically the Saints free agency, but Chase Young more than anything and the decision to bring him back on the deal that they did. And he referred to it as the crown jewel of the Saints free agency. And I got to ask, one, if you agree, and if you don't, what would be your crown jewel of free agency so far?
Well, you know, it's very similar to the Juwan Johnson deal, right? Like, I think generally speaking, you're investing in Chase Young in a similar way that you're investing in Juwan. The difference is Juwan is 28. Chase Young's 25 years old. Chase Young is entering his prime by any definition of the term. So I do think that, you know, you want to say crown jewel, whatever you want to call it, that's what you're investing in. You're investing in both of these players that the next 3 years will be their best 3 years in the NFL. And in both cases, you are hoping that by the time 2027 rolls around, we'll be looking at these contracts and saying, wow, what a steal, because Chase Young has double-digit sacks and Juwan Johnson is, you know, up there at the top of the tight end leaderboard in terms of the statistics. But at the end of the day, they are extensions. They are not free agent signings. So I don't even really include those in free agency, right? The same way I don't include Pete Werner in free agency. Pete Werner was extended before last season, but he's starting that extension this year. We don't say, oh, what a great free agent haul. So I kind of separate that, and I say, what about the rest of the free agents? And one of the reasons I actually am a fan of how the Saints have operated is because there's really not much to speak of on the free agent side of things, because I don't think this is a team that needs to be spending excessively on the free agent market. Now, you need to go out and you need to fill needs, and one of the glaring needs was safety.
Yeah.
And so the Saints went out and signed Justin Reed to a 3-year, $31 million contract, something in that range. You know, a guy who fits that mold, who you can put next to Tyrann Mathieu and disguise coverages. What I like about that pairing a little more than I liked about the Tyrann Mathieu-Will Harris pairing is you could send both of them out there and you can honestly say, I don't know what either of these guys is going to do on any given snap. Whereas I felt like Will Harris was more of a box safety. He was not a coverage safety. He was not a guy you wanted to leave single high over the top. Whereas I think Tyrann Mathieu and Justin Reed, they overlapped in such a way that you could feasibly have either guy filling any role on the defense in that specific play, which makes life more difficult on offense, as you don't know what those guys are going to do. So, you know, if you're talking about, okay, the free agent haul, I have to look at Justin Reed, because Justin Reed is the guy who I think unlocks a lot of what you want to do in Brandon Staley's defense. And, you know, it's kind of by virtue of being the only option, because otherwise you're looking, okay, Jonah Williams, right? Like, you know, Will Clapp is not the you know, I love me some Will Clapp, but he is not the crown jewel of your free agency class. So I have to go with Justin Reed if that's the conversation.
Yeah, I'm with you on that for sure. Justin Reed, all around impressive, just still 28 years old and going to come in and bring in some boom to that defense too. I know hard hitter, and pairing up with Tyrann Mathieu, two Louisiana guys there in your secondary. Awesome makeup for the black and gold. And I'm just excited after hearing his press conference and how excited he is to be back in Louisiana. But you brought up Will Clapp was re-signed. The team was brought back. Landon Young was re-signed. But the team is still not done in free agency at the offensive line position. Reports from ESPN's Jeremy Fowler I saw today, they're bringing in Dylan Radunz in for a visit.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you have a starting left guard right now.
Right.
And, you know, Lucas Patrick is kind of doing the free agency tour. I know he was out there with the Bengals. I think he took at least one other visit. So, you know, it doesn't seem like he's going to be back. So I think that's kind of where you're at right now, is you're trying to find your starting left guard. Nick Saldivari is a guy that I hope will be able to go out there and compete and maybe win that job. But you can't at this point.
Right, we can't hope.
Right. I mean, the health has been such an issue that, you know, it would be great if you bucked that and was able to stay on the field and own that job. But you can't just bet on it in such a way that you don't bring in any backup trying to compete for that. Will Clapp is a guy that could probably play guard in a pinch, but I look at him more as a center play, right? Like he has more than 1,000 snaps at center in his career. He started several games at center with Kellen Moore out with the Chargers in 2023. His work at guard has been limited, to say the least. I mean, you're talking like 200-something snaps between both of those positions. So I think he's more of your Eric McCoy backup. So I think you're trying to figure out, okay, who is your starting left guard? I still wouldn't rule out spending a premium pick on a guard prospect. We did our mock draft yesterday on Inside Black and Gold, and I grabbed Jonah Savonnet out of Arizona, who I think would be a guy that you could plug in right next to Taliese Fuaga, maybe not day one, but early in his career, and feel really good about the left side of your line. So I think that's what it is you're just trying to figure out who's going to be your penciled in week one left guard starter. And whether that's the Radunz, I don't know exactly how to say his name. I'll call him Dylan. Whether that's Dylan or one of these other guys, you got to figure that out, because that's kind of the glaring hole in your offensive line right now.
You mentioned mock drafts, and I'm sure you saw the buzz that ESPN's Mel Kiper Jr. created with him having the Saints selecting at number 9 overall Jackson Dart, the QB out of Ole Miss. Now, I don't hate the prospect. I just do not like the value you're getting at the number 9 spot there with Jackson Dart. And just curious, your thoughts overall. I feel like he's more of a day 2 guy, but I even was chatting with Mike Dettillier. He feels that Dart's going to be a late first round selection.
Yeah, I think at quarterback, you know, I'm not looking at value so much as I'm looking at your commitment to that guy as being the guy. Right? Because if you believe Jackson Dart is going to be your franchise quarterback, then there is nowhere too early to pick him. You're not saying, the value is not there. You're saying, I'm going to go get this guy because he's going to be the key to the future of my program. Now, if you don't believe that, you're not taking him. So, I actually think if the Saints do believe that he is that guy, then, yeah, they could very much go get him at number 9 and bring him in and have him be, you know, the quarterback of the future. And whether you keep Derek Carr around, you do whatever, you know, it makes sense. I just don't see him being that guy. I do not think he is a franchise quarterback. I think there is one franchise quarterback in this draft class, and it's Cam Ward. You know, Shedeur Sanders is up there as well. I don't know. I think what teams often end up doing is trying to convince themselves that there is multiple franchise quarterbacks in every draft, And the fact is, that's just not always true. I mean, you go back to the Kenny Pickett draft, and there were none in that class. I mean, people were trying to convince you that Malik Willis should be a first-round pick, and I don't think anyone now would go back and be like, oh, man, everyone missed on Malik Willis. I wouldn't rule it out for the Saints. It's just all going to depend on their evaluation of what Jackson Dart is, and I would be surprised if they see him that way.
Gotcha, Jeff. Definitely appreciate your time. What can folks check out the latest that you've put up at WWL.com regarding the black and gold or anything else you might have up there?
Yeah, I mean, we mentioned the mock draft a couple times. I put it up on the site, all the picks. You got your four picks. We went three rounds, so there's four picks in there, which is going to be an exciting draft. There's going to be a lot of picks to make on the first 2 days. So we got that right up there, and you can also go listen to it, obviously, wherever you get your podcast. So, you know, we had a good time putting it together, so I think people will enjoy it.
Appreciate you, Jeff. Have a great night watching Hoops. I'll talk to you later.
Yes, sir. Take it easy.
Jeff Nowak, our Saints sideline reporter, also WWL's digital content producer. You can follow him at Jeff_Nowak on Twitter or X, whatever you like to call it, and that's Nowak.